Games in this podcast range from E to M.
Welcome back to the official Xbox podcast. If you missed the news last week, you would have missed the fact that we are back. We are back in a studio officially. You might be watching us on our home on the Xbox YouTube channel, but you've got your choices too. You can also listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Dealer's choice, absolutely. Last week we published on a Friday, but here we are on a Thursday, which is probably going to be our recurring date, but we will confirm that soon as we kind of figure out our cadence over here. We've got some news to break down for you today. We're going to catch up on all the games that we've been playing. It's been an absolutely packed release week, so there's tons of games to choose from. But before we get down to it, I do want to introduce our guests today. So I'm going to start off over here with you, Martin Garcia, part of our Xbox marketing team. You work with Turn 10 Studios, but can you tell the audience what that's all about?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to join the podcast today. My name is Martin. I work with the Xbox Integrated Marketing Org, specifically on Forza and Turn 10. Do a lot of the marketing things, but essentially we're responsible for creating videos and creative storytelling for the Forza franchise.
Very cool. Thanks for coming on board.
Thanks for having me.
And familiar face, we've got Kelly Lombardi here as well, working on the Xbox product marketing team. You've probably seen a ton of her work before, especially if you've caught any Towerborn trailers. But what's new for you these days?
Yeah, I'm really excited to be back in the studio with everyone, especially you legends. Yeah, lately I've been working on Towerborn quite a bit. We have a fun event coming up that we're not ready to talk about quite yet. But we were just at Gamescom. We had a great announce at Showcase this year. And if you haven't signed up for our Insiders program, go do that now. Thanks.
Any coffee milk recently?
Yeah, I actually just got back from a trip to Rhode Island. I had party pizza and coffee milk. It was beautiful. So, yeah.
Oh, enticing.
For those of you that don't know what it is, look it up.
It's a coffee milk.
Coffee milk.
Okay, I am that person who's going to look it up.
Yeah.
I do not know.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you kind of interjected there, Jeff.
Yeah, we sorry also about that. Jeff I'll wait my turn.
And you're back.
And yes. Hi.
You're here.
Where's Malik?
Malik is not here. If you listened to the episode last week, we introduced the new co-host of the show, which is myself and Jeff and Malik, but we promptly lost him to some travel. But he'll be back before you know it, hopefully next week when we've got the gang back together again.
And we're always going to, like, Martin, thanks for joining us. Like, the goal is to always have, like, a fourth chair, somebody different, someone new, whether they work at Microsoft, maybe they might be a developer, they might be a reporter, they might be an influencer, mm-hmm. they might be just, you know, someone that we really want to have here. Yeah. So
a fun hang.
Hang, exactly.
That's what we do here.
Yes.
Yeah. At the official Xbox podcast. Well, let's talk about what we've been playing, because there's been tons of games out there that have come out recently. I've been playing Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty, and I know you've been playing as well, Jeff.
Very much so.
How's that going?
It's, first of all, like, this is, it feels like the game at its apex. This is when we first imagined what Cyberpunk 2077 would be. Like, we're here. It's great. There's so many changes, even besides the new content. And I will say the first thing that I did, I had beaten the game about a year ago after there was sort of like a really big update that smoothed out a ton of stuff. And I reloaded right in before the endgame kind of content. And immediately your phone starts ringing off the hook. And one is like the Ripper Doc dude was like, come on over, I got a bunch of new stuff. And basically what that introduces is this ability to respec. And I will say one of the things that, and I love a good skill tree. I mean, that's what everyone says about me, right?
That, yeah. Oh, man, that Jeff, that
you know, loves a good skill tree. But I do. And yet the Cyberpunk, the original one that it shipped with, a lot of it was like, increase your firearm damage by 1.9%. It's like, cool. I guess I feel that it is completely changed now. And so it's more about unlocking different abilities. And so now I look at that skill tree and I'm like, okay, how do I get to here? How do I do everything? And you can just respec for free. So mm-hmm. it's like, here, you want to try that out? Try it out. You don't like it? Just hit the Y button and switch it out and try something else. And so I really loved that ability to like reimagine my V and maybe more in the way that I originally thought V would be. But then also if I decide I no longer want to be a netrunner, I can also say, well, maybe for the next mission, I'm going to mm-hmm. be like, you know, all stealth or all whatever it is. What I didn't get a chance to do outside of the first mission is start the game, like the new content. Mm-hmm. So like, Have you met Idris Elba yet?
Oh yeah, I did. And they do take it, like, they warm it up a little bit, which is nice because you want it to be this big reveal moment. And I'm not going to spoil anything, but when he comes out, they drag it out a little bit too, like before you actually, and we've seen his character model, like we know what Idris Elba looks like.
And it looks
but it's
like
a nice moment. Yeah. It sure does, yeah. It's very fun to have Johnny Silverhand, aka Keanu Reeves, back, but now also Idris Elba as Solomon Reed. And I think it's done, they've done such a great job, like bringing in these celebrities into a game world in a really authentic way. Like you're getting a lot of like what you can tell are like their personas as mm-hmm. well. Not just the characters that CD Projekt Red built, but like how they're kind of identified through those actors as well. So it's been a fun, really gripping story. And it got to the point where I was like, I got to get to bed. It's one of those like five more. I'm uh-huh. arguing with myself. Five more minutes.
Yeah. So what kind of story is it?
It's basically a spy thriller in okay. a way. So again, no spoilers, but like I think people who know Cyberpunk 2077 know that the general premise, like you're kind of in a bad spot. You decide what your background is, your origin story. So I'm a street kid because I like being like one of the people. But ultimately, you're trying to go through different quests while trying to also ultimately make sure you're preserving yourself. Throughout, you're trying to survive, essentially. And so Phantom Liberty gives you another window for potentially exploring a solution there. But if you've played through Cyberpunk 2077, the main mission, there's a lot of like false starts and false hope. So who knows how this one's going to end up, but there's a whole new cast of characters. There's a new area called Dogtown, which is in Pacifica in Night City. And like, as everybody knows, Night City isn't particularly like a nice place to be or live or work or anything. But Dogtown is even grittier than all of that. I think during the showcase extended, I described it as like the underbelly of the underbelly mm-hmm. that is Night City, because it really is. Like the buildings are dilapidated, the cars are on fire, people are tweaking out like on corners. It's a really uncomfortable place, but perfect for the world, of course. And you get to meet what the citizens are struggling with, because you got to go on some side quests, which are kind of baked into the main quest in a way. No spoilers again. But the main quest is kind of meeting Idris Elba's character, Solomon Reed, meeting the president of the NUSA, and then trying to untangle what Colonel Kurt Hansen, like supposedly the main villain mm-hmm. of the new DLC, the expansion, mm-hmm. Is kind of putting up with, who runs Dogtown. He's kind of putting up a lot of these conflicts for you to figure out. So that's the general gist, but wow. I'm sure I haven't even scratched the surface, honestly.
You mentioned it for a second, but I do want to take another second to give you kudos, because I think the interview you did with Keanu for the extended showcase was maybe one of my favorite pieces of anything I've seen all year. So
it was so fun.
If you haven't watched it, go back and check it out. It was just so great. Keanu was just so pure. And
so pure, yeah.
The chemistry that you had, like you could just tell he felt so comfortable speaking with you. And it was a joy to watch. So
thank you. I think he's so interested in the content too. I think it's just like mm-hmm. all of that just comes out from him personally, because mm-hmm. he's like so excited to be there and excited to be yet another John, but like the best one, I would say.
Yeah.
Johnny Silver. He's played a lot of Johns.
A lot of Johns.
Yeah. A lot of Johns.
Yes, John Wick. Yes. A little slow here. Okay. So there was I didn't get to a lot of it, but one of the things that jumped out at me, and I want to hear from you because you're further into it. When the game first came out, I had trouble with the driving a little bit mm-hmm. because the minimap was so mm-hmm. small. I was like crawling along. It was like, I don't know if like you've ever had where you're like your maps is not really going and you're like missing every turn. That was me in Cyberpunk mm-hmm. and they zoomed out the map. All of a sudden I'm like, oh, I can like put the pedal down and I'm driving fast and not missing my turns. Thank you for fixing that, CDPR. Mm-hmm. But I heard there's like battling, you can like battle within the car. Have you done that?
A little bit, because there are some missions that take you on to like specifically do that. And then there's a whole like GTA style like police system as well. So accidentally ran someone over, as happens in these open world games. You know, honestly, it was their fault. They were in the wrong place, wrong time. They should have known the protagonist was coming mm-hmm. through.
That's what I say.
No jaywalking yet. No existing really, because I don't know that they were even jaywalking when I hit them.
That is main character energy, and I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. This is a video game. I'm the main character.
You were in my way.
100%. So you can like rack up stars as well. And like in general, the police system is different, like something so specific like that. Like mm-hmm. I love that this is the 2.0 patch, because it really does feel like Cyberpunk 2077 2.0. Like this is the mm-hmm. next generation, next evolution of this game that they've been like working to tweak and modify and address people's feedback.
And it's come such a long way. Like, the police system is completely revamped. They're far more aggressive. Enemies are more aggressive. There is vehicular combat now. To your point about the skill system and everything being revamped, not only is there a whole new tree around, like, a relic tree, so that gives you a lot of these, like, differing abilities, there's also combat-specific perks, too. So you can, like, upgrade your guns and, like, make it easier, essentially. And the targeting system is pretty automatic, so you just drive and shoot, like, just hold RB and just shoots everybody, like, on target, and it's quite easy.
You have one of those, like, intelligent weapons in the game?
Yeah, the smart tech.
Yeah.
But there's so much going on, like, so many other details. If anybody out there is interested in, like, just how much Cyberpunk 2077 has evolved, look it up, because it's a lot. I mean, everything from, like, my favorite, actually, is that your cyberware contains a lot of armor abilities, and so now your outfits, which were, like, you know, giving you certain perks, aren't exactly attached to it. So I'm having fun just changing my outfits without changing, like, the settings and the stats that I get off of that.
You can look the way you want to.
Exactly. Yeah.
And not be like, I'm going to look like a clown, but it's plus 10 defense, yes. So I will be a clown.
It's worth it, exactly.
Or you can say, I want to look like a clown, but the stats aren't there, so I have to look normal. Now you can choose either path.
Suppose that is also true.
Yeah. Look how, but if we play video games very differently.
Yeah, I was min-maxing.
You don't want to look normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's literally, you can, like, redo. So it's interesting too, because Jeff and I were talking about this a little bit, but I didn't get to port over my save because it was different hardware, different time period. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to jump right into Phantom Liberty. So I just clicked the option to jump in, and they just kind of, you know, set my perks and my skills in whatever kind of balanced way that they determined, which was kind of cool because I played more of a netrunner than I had in my original run. So it was a nice opportunity for me coming in fresh, quote unquote, to just try it out in a different way. And I think the fact that you can respec, because it might have been a year since the last time you played and you might have forgotten how to play, it's a nice opportunity to play around again.
Yeah, they've added a lot in that. Because it's cyberpunk, I wanted to play like some sort of hacker, but now you can queue up multiple things. A lot of times the way you would do it, you'd be hiding and you would cast, I mean, it's kind of like a spell, you know? Any sufficiently advanced technology is akin to magic anyway. So I would cast something that usually wouldn't be enough, and then you would cast a second one, and now you can string them together and be like a real, like, hacking badass and just, like, going right into people's heads and doing even more stuff than you were doing before. So it seems like a popular choice to restart the game entirely and play through with this 2.0.
Yeah, I've seen, like, really great commentary from people out there already, like, everyone embracing it and just feeling like, this is the Cyberpunk 2077 we've been hoping for. And it's a good chance to jump in if you haven't yet.
Yeah, I think that's me. I've yet to play Cyberpunk, and it's been on my backlog for a couple years now, but it sounds like
this is your chance.
Now's a great time.
Now's absolutely a great time, especially with Phantom Liberty coming out shortly after, too. Right. It's been great to play.
All of that sounds fantastic, but you had me at Idris Elba.
So, I mean, very true. I think most people were sold based on that.
It's like Idris Elba, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, no, I'm going to play.
So, you just were tuning us out for
You're like, Idris, like, goodbye. I don't even need a last name. Yeah. Well, Martin, what else have you been playing, if not Cyberpunk?
So I've actually gone back and started playing a lot of Gears 5 recently. Before, I used to just play multiplayer and campaign, but I recently got into Horde mode a lot more, and I played the original Gears, and Horde was not as much or not in depth as it is in Gears 5. I'm going through leveling up classes, unlocking cards, trying to master all the maps on the hardest difficulty. That alone is enough to keep me busy for almost an entire weekend. So I found a squad, I found a group online to play Horde with, and been trying to master all the maps, level up all my classes. It's been a lot of fun to kind of revisit a couple years after launch and go back and explore a game mode that I hadn't played a lot of in a couple of years. So Gears 5 has been my game of choice. And when I can, every year I buy the new Madden, I play, because if my team in real life isn't doing well, in Madden they can be, and I can kind of live through that fantasy. My brother used to make fun of me because if my team was losing in real life, I would go on my Xbox, I'd play Madden, and I would basically restart that game.
You'd write the wrongs.
In game, I'd write the wrongs. I know. In Madden, everything is the team that wins.
I think that's the canon, is actually what you did in, that's in real life.
That's
what it should be.
That's what it should be. Yeah. It makes me feel better. Yeah. I usually don't go back and watch to finish the rest of the game. Sometimes they end up winning, but yeah. That's what those two games
are. Are you a Raiders fan? Just say it.
I'm not a Raiders fan. I'm a Steelers fan. So they actually won last night.
Very nice.
So, yeah.
I'd be interested to see how many people play as the Kansas City Chiefs after the debacle this weekend of Taylor Swift showing up at the Chiefs game.
There is a very, whatever, rabbit hole. There's a huge conspiracy theory on TikTok about Taylor Swift dating Travis Kelce simply to help the Eagles win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen this, but you have to look at it. And it's like a 10-minute, and it's, I was riveted.
Yeah.
And I'm an Eagles fan, so like, Tay, like, please do this for us.
Yeah, she's a big Eagles fan, and so they're like, oh, she's trying to distract him so that they don't end up doing as well this season.
I didn't know about this conspiracy theory. Yeah. I was like, oh.
But it goes in such a place that it's art. Yeah. It is nothing short of art.
Jeff and I are deep in the Tay. The Tay lore.
This is actually the official sports gossip podcast now.
Yeah, you didn't get the memo on that one?
I did, yeah. Apparently not.
Look, we were reading the feedback. Thanks for leaving feedback on YouTube. You said a lot more Tay Swift.
A lot more Tay Swift. That's why I'm here. I can't go more than 5 minutes without mentioning her. So, yeah.
And we actually are going to talk a little bit more about sports because, Jeff, you've been playing EA Sports FC?
Yeah, so it's sort of the reboot, if you will, of EA's football, soccer game. Not getting into that conversation.
Not again.
I will say, like, I don't play a tremendous amount every year. Like, I would say most sports games, I'll, like, play the same one for a while and then wait a couple years. And when you do that, it's like, wow, the presentation's come so far. Mm-hmm. There's like a really cool animation that happens when there's like a free kick and where you actually see it from the referee's perspective. And they're like using that little spray. I don't know how much y'all watch soccer, but when there's a free kick, like so that people don't sneakily move the ball up, they have like a little spray paint. And they will like spray paint all around the ball where the ball needs to go. And then like you see them go up and push the line back and then draw a line so that people don't go. Anyway, it's just really like a great like bringing you onto the field sort of sequence, and they did a really good job with that. So that game has always been like the ideal way to play it is I'm here, I'm playing against you, Kelly, and we're sitting here playing on the same screen and like yelling at each other against each other, and that's what I've always done with my brother, but he moved to Canada over the summer. So I ended up getting him a copy and we both started playing and we were playing online and, you know, and that was great. It sort of got a little bit of that back. But then we're like, hey, what's this co-op leagues situation? So we joined a team together and I've never played online against random people because it was like just not something I ever really had much of an interest in doing. But we're like, we'll just try it. And so we picked the Seattle team, Seattle Sounders. Yeah, and, sure. You know, good by U.S. standards, they are not... you know, Barcelona. And we're like, well, who are we going to play? I'm sure it'll be evenly matched. Manchester City, huh? Okay, like basically the best team in the world. And we're like, all right, let's just try and like keep like some self-respect here. Let's not lose 10-0. We're playing and we're getting like the vibe of it. And I will say playing co-op is really fun because it was like every other pass, it goes to the other person. So you're like, okay, pass it to me and then run down this way. And like very quickly, we're starting to like get these sort of like building a new muscle together, mm-hmm. which was really fun. And then it's okay. So we're playing and we score and then we score again. And then we're like, new goal. What if we actually win this? And what if we got this person to rage quit? And that is exactly what happened. So after we went up 3-0 in the first half, and we got the new little notification that they were done. They conceded the game. Like my daughter ended up coming downstairs. She's like, "What is going on down here?" Like I was like screaming, and it like brought like a level of like excitement that like I honestly hadn't had in a sports game in quite a while. So we're gonna be playing a lot of co-op. We like now have incredibly inflated egos, which will be, you know, decimated, I'm sure, the next time I play. But check it out. It was really, really fun. And a new way with my brother being a couple hundred miles away for us to like get together and like
the talk beauty about of it. Video games.
It brings people together.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely does. I love that co-op strategizing too, like the natural back and forth. Yeah, I'm not a sports person, but it just sort of like as you were talking reminded me of like Portal 2 and playing co-op like puzzle games. Like sports are kind of puzzles, I guess, in a way. You know, you can think about it that way.
Yeah, so,
But the handoff thing feels really nice.
It's an entirely new, different way, like part of your brain. So, we played a lot like It Takes Two and a lot of those types of games. So Joseph Ferris meets soccer.
There you go. We're that. That's the back of the box quote. That is.
You can have that one, EA.
I love that. Amazing. But you've got like a couple other games on your list that you've been playing too, I believe.
Well, we were talking about Lies of P last week and continuing to play. It is rapidly moving up my list as one of the best games of the year. Like, it has completely gripped me. So I moved on past Vanini's Factory. And once this game clicks, I will just say, yes, it's a Soulsborne. Yes, these games are hard. And just if you've, but once it clicks, all of a sudden you start to get, gain this like forward momentum and you're just going. And anyway, I'm in like this Moonlight Village. I don't know how long the game is, but I'm just like feeling great. I'm getting some like pretty cool outfits for my Timothée Chalamet looking Pinocchio. My daughter said he looks juicy, so I
think that's a good thing.
Is probably good. I was like, thank you, you can leave now. But,
never say that again.
Yeah. Did you keep playing?
I'm still playing. Yeah, and it's interesting because like I'm not the best Soulsborne player. Like overall, I've tried to push my way through because I like to be part of the zeitgeist. It was once upon a time a part of my job, still is to a degree. But I've been pushing through a little bit more with Lies of P because I love the world and I love like the art, and I keep reading like people being really excited about the game too. So I'm so ready to get that to the place that like people like yourself are at, where you're just deeper into the world and deeper into the progression that you can get with Timothée Chalamet. The thing that you said about it clicking like resonates with me a lot, because with Soulsborne games, I think like each one was a little bit different, where it's like, okay, here you're really parrying, like here the dodge is more fluid, like there's slightly different feels to the combat. And with Lies of P, I realized really quickly, typically with Soulsborne games, I do what I call like the panic roll. So I'm just sort of like, I'll hit you, and then I need to like gather the courage. So I'm just roll. Yeah, yeah. But you cannot do that in this game. Like you absolutely have to lean on parrying. Mm. And so once I learned that, it clicked. And once I felt out, because you know, you were talking last week about how the enemies do really telegraph like their hits. So if you pay attention to that, and if you have patience, which I also historically do not have much in video games, because I'm like, I just want to shoot things and watch things explode. Yeah. And you really have to have the patience to wait for those hits to come in, the lulls for you to place your hits, and then you know, balance it out with your items and everything else, and be a little bit strategic. So it is really clicking for me. So I'm in like the second level, because I got to take this one slow and steady. And as I said before, there's been tons of games that have come out recently, so including on Game Pass. So I've been busy with lots of games. So I'm in the second level. And I'm like, yeah, I'm feeling good. I know how to like fight these enemies now. And they're all easy, actually. Well, especially the enemies in between the boss levels, essentially. But then I'm on like a little walkway, because I've like taken a ladder up to the rooftop, and I'm just walking on some planks to get across and get shot and block the shot. I parry the shot effectively, and I still get bounced back and fall down to my death. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna take a break there. That's gonna be where I take my break.
Right. You learned something.
Yeah, exactly. Something, yeah. So it clicked, and I need to just push through, essentially.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you just have to go touch some grass.
Exactly.
And remind yourself. Yeah. Look at you're good it, at other
it.
Things.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. You need a little bit of the break. It's like sleeping on it, right? And then the next day you can fight everything again. Mm-hmm. So Kelly, you've been playing some other stuff as well. What's been going on in your world?
So I'm actually really excited to talk about this. And I wanted to do an exercise with you all, if you're down listening.
Okay.
An exercise. Okay.
Yeah, not like calisthenics.
Okay,
like a mental exercise. Yes. We're not doing like, you want to get physical, we're not doing that.
Good, because I'm in terrible shape.
Yeah, okay, great. Same page. So lately there have been a lot of games that come out. And do you ever feel overwhelmed by the amount of choice that you have, not just with games, but also choices within games?
Yes.
Curate for me, please, Sensei.
Yes. Do you ever yearn for the times of yesterday where you were a kid and you would play like an on-the-rails 8-bit RPG that was full of adventure, and you know, there was something new around every corner?
Why, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. All right. What else do we have? Have you ever wished that you were part of something where you were a chosen entity and someone one day told you, no, you're special? And you were waiting to get like your Hogwarts letter, or so you were waiting for that moment where someone was like, no, you're the chosen one. Have you ever wished that happened to you?
Right now.
For magical powers,
I'm doing it right now.
You're like, is that what you're telling me?
Am I about to get my letter?
Now that you mention it.
Yeah. Okay, so if you've answered yes to any of those questions, boy, do I have the game for you. Oh. I have been playing Sea of Stars, and it is so fun, so nostalgic. If you ever played, like, Chrono Trigger, or when I was a kid, I played a lot of, like, Threads of Fate or Beyond the Beyond, like, these classic kind of RPGs that have, like, a funny narrative twist every once in a while. Like, there's a moment in Sea of Stars where you're getting ready to go out on a quest, and it's, like, this big dramatic buildup, and then someone presses the wrong button, and you go flying into the sky, and it's just, like, it just has that blend of serious and, like, you know, building up your skills and choosing your party. It's a turn-based RPG, but also just those fun moments where, like, it's a story of friendship and these two characters, the main characters, that you can choose which one you want to play as. And then the good thing about it, though, no matter what choice you make, you can choose to be one of the main characters, but they're together all the time. So even if you choose to be the boy or the girl, like, it doesn't change your gameplay. And for me, I suffer from just decision fatigue. Like, I get tired of making choices. And I looked up, I was like, okay, which character should I choose to play as? Or, like, which one's the best one? I was like, which one's the best one? Before I even started.
And then
started.
The guide is like, whatever you prefer. And you're like, you've helped me not at all today. Thank you.
This is trash. No, but I just, like, get overwhelmed, and I always am afraid that I'm making the wrong choice. And with this game, it has been such a breath of fresh air, because you can also go through, and they have these relics where you can choose to turn them on or off at any time. And one is, like, after every battle, your HP and MP regenerate to full. So you don't have to worry about, like, healing and doing that as much like you do within combat. Mm-hmm. But there are so many different ways to scale how difficult the game is. So you can make it more story-driven. You can make it so that it's, like, sweaty turn-based combat and you have to be really strategic about it. They introduce new characters as you go from, like, little town to town. And I don't know. There's just something about it that has really grabbed me, and it has been so fun to play. And I find myself doing the, oh, let me just get to the next save point, because it's one of those where you go to the book and you, like, record your day, or you, like, go to the campfire and rest, and that's how you, like, heal up. And so I just find myself, I'm like, okay, let me just get to the next save and then I'll stop. And
I'm like, what? The 5 more minutes, please.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm like, oh, no, the next one I'll stop, because I really want to see what this new village looks like. And there's a fishing component. You can catch
fish. There has to be. Oh. Yes.
So it has a little bit of everything. The style is really cool. Mm-hmm. It is 8-bit, and then they have cutscenes that are, like, more drawn and more stylized. And so you kind of get to see the characters in a different way, and then they go back to being 8-bit. So I have just really loved it. And in a world where everyone is like, oh, I have 7,000 quests in my quest log for Starfield, or, like, I have all this stuff to do, I'm like, I have a game where I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing and how long it's going to take me, and I don't have to second guess myself or make too many decisions. I love it.
I do love that feeling, because you know, like, all right, I'm putting the controller down for evening, but tomorrow I know exactly what I'm going to do in this game.
Yeah,
like, you pick up that motivation, yeah.
And you're like, oh, and there is also, like, some puzzle solving. So it's not completely like, oh, you're just, like, a walking simulator. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. There is a lot of depth to it, and you can, you know, choose your party and what different, like, combo breakers they have when there are different people in your party combined. So there are, like, a lot of really cool elements to it, but they're all choices that are, they feel a lot more low stakes, and it feels a less, I don't know, it has just healed my decision fatigue. Like, after a long day of work where I'm like, okay, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing this, I just sit down and I'm like, tell me where we're going next. Like, let's just enjoy
this
ride.
Take me on
your
journey.
Like, I just want to go on a journey, and the writing is great.
And Sea of Stars is by the same devs that did The Messenger, right? There's, supposedly like connections to the universe here too.
And I looked up, you don't need to play Messengers before you play this. There are, like, some cuts, but you don't have to have, like, a deep understanding before you dive in. Sabotage Studio is the name of the studio and the publisher. And kudos to them, because I have just really, it's been a long time since I've played, like, a turn-based, like, small-scale RPG, and I've just been in love.
It's not just you that's found this game, because it's been, like, overwhelmingly successful.
This is
it's just you.
You're no one's ever heard about this game, Jeff.
It's called Kelly's Sea of Stars, which I think may be an air song. But they were kickstarted, but then I think there was something, like, in the first week, like, 250,000 people got the game. Wow. And then when you add in people playing on Game Pass and everything, like they're in the millions. And so for a game mm-hmm. like this, that like reminds me of the games that I played on like mm-hmm. Super NES.
Yeah.
Like, or Super Nintendo. I don't know how people say SNES, and I'm just not one of those people.
SNES?
SNES,
yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of, that's
like a
lot
rational
of
human being. Yeah, yeah.
I was trying to figure out, like, what's
I say SNES. Yeah.
Well, there you go. All right. There's regional differences here.
Dare to be old.
And it just like, look at, like it would, you know, scratch all of those itches, but it's mm-hmm. it's glad to see that, like, you can find that audience,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and you can play it on Game Pass. It's on PC. It's on obviously on Xbox. And I was like, this would be great on handheld. So I downloaded it on. Yeah. I have a Asus ROG Ally, and I'm like, I just need to find the time. So
yeah, well, find it, Jeff.
Find it. Okay, that's what you're making me do. That's yeah. the decision made for me.
Yes, you're welcome. It's just something about it. Like, I grew up. Some of the first games I played were on my PS1 that it was the first console I owned just for myself. I didn't have to share with my brothers. And I played a lot of like JRPGs or turn-based strategy games. And this just took me right back in such a good way. And I was just like, this game's got it. They know.
All right.
Yeah. Well, you sold me. I'm going to have to try it.
So play it or else.
I have to know, because I'm universally bad at fishing in every game possible. Is fishing hard in this game or not? Because that might make my decision on whether or not I want to really jump into this.
So one thing I like about it, there's a tutorial at the beginning of like combat and things like that. But then once you get exploring, they don't really explain stuff. So I walked up to start fishing and I was like,
fishing,
what in the world? But I caught the first fish I tried to catch.
Oh.
There is basically like you're on a dock and there's a little sign and it'll tell you how many different fish there are. And so you cast, and then once you catch it, it'll show up on the sign like, oh, this pond has these fish in it because you've caught them. But you basically cast out and then you aim. There's like a blue bar that goes in the water, and you try to keep the fish within that bar as
Martin
you reel it.
This is
his soul's born.
Yeah, this is his. This is his life of feed. But no, I like one of the things that I really struggle with in turn-based combat is timing. Like when they're like, "Oh, you have to hit this at the exact moment to block." I miss it every time because I get distracted or I'm looking at the animation. I'm like, "That's cool," and then my player's like knocked out. So one of them is like, oh, it increases your chances to auto block or auto hit a combo with your timing, because I can never get the timing down. So maybe there's a relic for fishing that I haven't found yet. That's auto like fish. Martin gets good at fishing. Yeah. That's like catch fish easily. But yeah, I really love how you can change the different features of the game to be easier or harder depending on your strengths and weaknesses mm-hmm. within a turn-based RPG. So maybe there's one for fishing.
So there is debilitating choice in this game. I was promised otherwise, Kelly.
It's literally like, do you want to be on easy mode or not? That's an easy choice for me. Because a lot of times it's like, I sure do. Like, give me the story
tonight. Thank you.
Yeah.
Incredible. Well, there's just so many games that we've all just talked about, like games that are getting updates, like new games that are coming out. But there's even more than that, Jeff.
Yeah, we're very much in that season where there was so much to play. And this is yet another game that I need to find the time. And I'm sorry, folks, like this week was another one of those weeks. So I'll talk through a few of these. One is Harvest Moon, The Winds of Anthos. Harvest Moon, one of those franchises that goes all the way back to like when games like Sea of Stars were first coming out on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. No argument there. I got all the words in it. So the Winds of Anthos, I was looking back, the most recent Harvest Moon that came out on Xbox was Harvest Moon One World. This is a huge jump in fidelity. So Britt Brombacker, who is a fan of these games, was like, this just looks so much better. And I was looking at it, and it really does. So if you were like a Stardew fan, if you're a fan of the types of games, if you're playing Disney Dreamlight Valley, I think this is probably going to be up there for you. My Time in Portia, I was definitely getting those sorts of vibes. So Harvest Moon, Winds of Anthos out this week. Infinity Strash. So this is a Dragon Quest game. It's called Dragon Quest, The Adventure of Dai. So it's actually based on an anime. It's the first like 41 episodes that got pulled into a game. All these games, these Square Enix games, these Dragon Quest games, ever since Dragon Quest VIII, I want to say, they all look amazing. They all look like anime and that are playable. And this game looks very much like this, more of an action, I'd say real-time game than most of the Dragon Quest games are turn-based. Which are delightfully classic sort of style. So this one is out this week and looks really good. I always say, you like these games, support these games. You want to keep seeing them on the console. Game Pass. Game, very interesting looking game called Cocoon that is out this week. It's from the lead gameplay designer of Limbo and Inside, two of the best games ever made.
Agreed.
It is not a side-scroller, though. It's and you're seeing it from a top-down, and it's it reminded me a lot of Below from Capybara Games that came out early in the Xbox One generation. And so that alone very much caught my attention. Reviews as the, have not hit yet at the time of us recording this, but I was looking back at some of the previews. IGN had a preview, and they were like, this game, when you think it's going to zig, it zags. It just, there's just something very interesting here. And the fact that I don't know what it is makes me want to play more. But it looks cool, and it's on Game Pass, so no
excuse not to play. It's got like a unique mechanic, right? Like you're like taking worlds into other worlds, essentially. You're like leaping between worlds.
Yes. So anyway, this is one to try out, and one I think we'll probably be talking about next week, in addition to Sea of Stars, which I'll definitely play. and then last one, and I just, this is for the free parents out there, Paw Patrol World. So, like, I have a kid. She's too old, never cared about Paw Patrol. She had her own things. But I have noticed now, because I have friends with small kids, like, Paw Patrol is like, if Paw Patrol is on anywhere in the zip code, like, your kids know, and they are transfixed. And so sometimes you need some peace. And, you know, they've seen the same episode 50 times in a row. I've seen the Paw Patrol games have the same effect on children. So, like, you know, I'm just saying, parents, this might be the game for you, and I know it might not be for you, but for kids, Paw Patrol World. Thank you. You're welcome.
That's the one.
I'm waiting for Bluey. They just announced the Bluey game.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I watch episodes of that. I don't have children. It's so soothing to me. Yeah.
I have nieces and a nephew who all are in that generation of like, they're still young. They're like obsessed with Bluey. So that quickly came on the radar too.
Something about a cartoon dog, man.
Yeah.
It just soothes the soul.
There's some good learning lessons in that show too.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot. A lot of video games out there. Curious to hear from the audience, like what you're playing, like what's resonating with you, how you're enjoying Cyberpunk, inevitably. But there's even more to celebrate this month because I forgot to mention at the top of the episode that Martin is also going to walk us through how Xbox is celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month too. So what's going on in the Xbox world?
Yeah, so in honor of Hispanic Heritage Month, we're celebrating in a number of ways. The first one, which I think it's hard to miss this one, is the beautiful artwork that was made for Hispanic Heritage Month. It was made by a Colombian illustrator named Catalina Estrada, who did an amazing job on the artwork. And throughout the rest of September and into October, you can find a couple of organizations on the Xbox that you can donate your Microsoft Rewards points to in support of Hispanic communities. CARE is one of them that works to fight poverty in 100 countries, including Latin America and the Caribbean. And the other one is the Hispanic Heritage Foundation that focuses on education, workforce, and social impact. And they actually joined forces with Minecraft Education again this year to give students and players another opportunity to see themselves and their culture represented in Latin Explorers 2. And I love these because I have a close childhood friend that a lot of these stories I see in them, and it reminds me a lot of my friend. But in Latin Explorers 2, you're allowed to step in the world of three women who are working to make the world a better place. One is Gloria Estefan, a Cuban-American singer. Dr. Ellen Ochoa, the first Hispanic woman to go to space. And also Monica Ramirez, a powerful social activist and attorney working in women's rights. This is a continuation of last year's Latin Explorers, which means now in Minecraft there are six Hispanic heroes that you can play with and see their stories within Minecraft Education. So those are some ways that we're celebrating at Xbox. And there's a couple other ways that I think in the past that we've celebrated Hispanic Heritage Month. And one of the first projects I got to work on was Forza Horizon 5. And in Forza Horizon 5, there's some amazing mural art made by Mexican mural artists. And we made a little video series about each artist that highlighted who they are, where they're from, and their work. And we put those six murals in the game. Around launch of Forza Horizon 5, there was a few painted around the world, which was awesome to see. And it really was just a love letter to Mexico. And for that to be the first project I got to work on as part of the team was really awesome. And I felt seen, I felt represented when those videos came out. And to see when I'm driving around in Forza Horizon 5, which is based in Mexico, to just randomly pop up around the corner and see, oh, here's one of the mule arts that we put in the game. So it's really great to celebrate in such an authentic way. And I had mentioned earlier, my friend who I saw a lot of the stories from Latin Explorers in, she's in med school now. She drives to Tijuana. She drives to Mexico on the weekends and does community service and gives back to our community. And it reminded me a lot of the three women that are now, that you can play the stories of in Latin Explorers too. So it's seeing continued representation and to be a part of it and to work at a company that shows that off in such an authentic way is heartwarming and makes me happy.
Yeah, I love all the different angles of how it's been integrated. It's both like, you know, Xbox, like if you check out our Xbox Wire posts, there's a lot of like ambassadors that we've shined a light on as well. But also just the really like subtle ways too that we've kind of integrated things. Like the redesign of the logo is gorgeous. But then I was looking at the collection, the Game Pass collection that we put together, and like you kind of forget, like there's all of these like examples of games where it's set in locations or featuring protagonists or just other little elements where, you know, it's genuinely authentically represented and integrated into the game world as like pieces of art in this way.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not always about talking about it, but being about it and showing that representation in game. There's, like you mentioned, Reyna from Valorant is one. Mm-hmm. Dom from Gears of War is a favorite. And just continuing to...
Rico Rodriguez and Just Cause 4 is on the list as well. Yeah.
If someone wanted to watch the videos of like the little bios that you did of the different artists that were used in Forza Horizon 4, can they find those somewhere?
Yeah, right on the Xbox YouTube channel. There should be a Forza Horizon 5 playlist. Should have all of those mural artist documentaries in there. They're short videos. It was fun to work on those.
So you mentioned Microsoft Rewards, and it's like my favorite thing is that when we do something like this, it reminds me, oh wait, those things keep popping up. Every time I unlock an achievement in a Game Pass game, or I happen to have somehow like fulfilled all of these sort of these different objectives that I have, and now I have like a few thousand points, and you can take that money and you can like reinvest that into more Game Pass, or you can do whatever. But I would encourage you to look and see how much you've got, and you can donate. Sometimes it's only like a dollar, but if so many people play, millions of people have Xboxes, millions of people are part of Microsoft Rewards, and if everyone does a dollar, then that is very meaningful change for what? For playing games that you're already doing anyway. Right. So I would highly recommend you go and check that and see if you've got that, enable it if you haven't. And you may have a lot of points there, and just go through and like do something nice and be like, wow, I played games and I did something good for people. And how is that even possible? But it is.
Yeah. I usually get myself a Sephora gift card every month. But this month,
See how versatile it is?
Yes.
this month, I will be a better person.
You have to refill your own cup, too. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But yes, this month, I will donate my points because there are things more important than self-care sometimes.
But I'll play Sea Stars and you donate your own.
Yes. We're all growing.
We all have goals.
People.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. But emphasis on like really check how many points you might have, because you get Microsoft Rewards points for... Almost anything.
Yeah.
First time I checked, I was like, oh, these points are all just sitting here. Let me donate them or put them to a Sephora gift card.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I love that.
They make it easy. It's just like one click, too. They'll tell you about the different organizations, and it'll just say, like, oh, do you want to donate? And you confirm. It's really easy.
Yeah, love that. Thanks for the suggestions and the reminders of all the games and the collection and all the people coming together to do some pretty cool stuff in-game, outside of game, in around our world. But we've got tons of news to get through, too. Busy release week, busy news week. Did you all know that Cuphead is turning 6 years old soon? Has it really been six years?
How is that even possible?
I know.
I went to that launch event yesterday.
6 years ago.
Last year?
Yesterday and 6 years, years ago. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh my gosh. I was there, too.
Yeah, the one in LA.
The comic store
at Meltdown?
LA? Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
did you guys know each other was there?
Maybe.
No.
We were actually enemies then.
Yeah.
Kumail Nanjiani was there, and he ended up doing a live podcast, and that was like a really good time.
In-N-Out catered. They had an In-N-Out food truck.
Yes.
I missed out.
They had a cotton candy machine.
Yeah. I went up to them and I said, I don't want anything. It's overrated. And they appreciated that.
Oh, wow. Even for free?
And they said, okay, next.
No,
we don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, there's 30 people in line. You can step aside, sir. Yeah.
Well, the burger's fine, but I just, yeah. those are not French fries. I'm sorry.
Wow. Well, they're not doing that all over again for the 6-year anniversary. Maybe the 10-year anniversary. Yes. Who knows? But there's a ton of content coming out. Tons of new features. I'm going to go through them. Stop me if anything sounds like a woo moment. Please feel free to interrupt with woos. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be a bonus menu with 3 sections. There's an art gallery, a music player, behind the scenes video player. So just like additional content for people who have like loved the world and the characters and just want more of that connection to that art, which is really cool.
What's amazing about that team, MDHR, is like this is not like a team that had decades of gaming experience, of game developing experience. This was the first game they ever made. Like, imagine, like, the first time, like, you ever swung a bat, like, you hit a Grand Slam and won the World Series. Like,
that's,
like, that's the equivalent of that. Is like, and the fact that we're talking about the game 6 years later is just wild, because it was a game that people fell in love with the first time they ever saw it as part of, like, a snippet in an ID at Xbox, like, montage. And everyone's like, what's that? And and so this week they were also on Kind of Funny XCast, talking to Mike and Paris and Gary. And so if you want to hear more from them, they are the nicest people.
Oh, yeah.
So it was Chad and Maya Moldenauer and like people you root for. There are good people out there having success. It's just nice.
Yeah, and they you know, we're such an important part of the ID at Xbox program as well. We celebrated ID at Xbox's 10-year anniversary at Gamescom because it was announced 10 years ago.
Oh,
I know. I'm just going to keep coming up with the anniversaries.
I was just going to get humbled.
This episode brought to you by really old
brought
anniversaries.
Brought to you by your old.
And Basket Host.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were part of our documentary for celebrating the ID at Xbox's 10-year anniversary as well. And both featured, just talking about what the announcement was like. And, you know, it was very emotional because there's so much of your heart and soul that you put in video games, just in development in general, but especially for like first time devs as well. And to hit such a home run, to borrow your metaphor, is incredible. And I don't know that they were expecting that, but, you know, 6 years later, we're still celebrating the game and people still have so much passion for it. So there's the bonus menu, there's new title screens, it's all based on like 1930s design, as you can imagine. There's a new MIDI track, there's more high-res photos involved, like there's a whole soundtrack, you can finally listen to all them, the entire soundtrack, there's 86 tracks actually. It's the Cuphead game and DLC all in one place, so there's all these different features that they're releasing for Xbox and Windows. Pretty soon, on
Maybe
September
I'll be able to
29th.
Beat the dragon, finally.
Yeah, exactly. It's getting up to that level.
Yes.
But Jeff, there's also some more content coming to Forza Horizon 5.
Yes. Oh, we were talking about Forza Horizon 5. Yeah. What would be better, tell me, than tooling your way through Baja and not paying, not even having to worry about how much a gallon of gas is? Because they're adding the Rivian cars. So two of them, there is the more pickup truck looking one, the 2022, I think it's the R1T, and then the R1S, the SUV one, which I see a bunch of these going around. There's like, or I see the same person, like a teal one, and it's so nice. And
someone's following you.
Let's just, I would just say, I mean, just let me borrow it, whoever you are, let me borrow it, because that car's amazing. And I'm pretty sure, knowing what they cost, the only way I'm ever going to drive one is going to be in Forza Horizon 5. So the way you unlock it is through one of the event labs. So check that out. I think it's just seasonal only. It was just announced. More details on Xbox Wire. These cars are so nice. So I am absolutely going to load it back up to get these, because it has like become the car that I want now.
Yeah.
And again, like many of the cars in Forza Horizon 5, we'll never have.
Forza is so good. If you're car shopping, doing like the photo mode where you go in and you can see the interior. Yeah. It's so realistic that you can be like, okay, what features do I like? How do I like being able to like sit? How high up is it? Like you can tool around and just kind of see all of the different features.
How many cup
in
holders
car.
In this thing?
Yeah. No. I'm like, do I like my view here? No. All right, let's go back to the Audi or whatever. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Like, will I ever be able to get Rivian? Who knows? But in Forza, yes, I definitely can drive one. And I'm definitely looking forward to getting that experience through Forza Horizon 5.
I can't wait to see what people do with the livery creators. And that's like one of the favorite things. Like, I'm going to get this car and then wait a second. Someone's already made it into like some amazing thing.
Yeah.
Well, and far less expensive news than buying these cars in real life.
Yes.
Well, there's, I think people probably know about the Xbox Design Lab. You can go and customize your controllers. If the audience out there is not familiar with it, you can customize everything from like the D-pad, obviously the color of the actual frame, the buttons, the bumpers. You can make it super pro. But occasionally we come out with our own designs as well. So you can just pick up something that has been designed outside of your own customized world. And there was a series of Shift Special Edition controllers, and they were kind of these like sparkly designs.
The ombre, right?
The ombre, yeah. Like what? Uh-huh. I didn't know a shimmering design.
I had that fashion. Like that. Yeah.
Clearly been using those rewards for Sephora, getting those ombre colors. but there's a new one that's coming out as part of this new kind of series of controllers. So it's building off of those designs that were originally released in 2021. So the original shimmering ombre colors were aqua, lunar, and stellar. Mm. And the new one is Cosmic Shift, which actually I would vote as my personal favorite because it's more of that like galaxy kind of inspired
perfect
design.
Perfect for Starfield.
Exactly. Look at that. Well timed.
And Sea of Stars.
Oh, and Sea of Stars.
Oh, that star theme.
I'd be remiss not to mention also, while we're on the topic of Design Lab controllers, to get ready to celebrate the launch of Forza Motorsport, there are Forza Motorsport-inspired Xbox Design Lab controllers also that you can check out on the Design Lab website.
Oh, very love cool. that. Yeah, good shout. Yeah, there's tons of different like series of designs, and then mm-hmm. also, you know, you can make your own complete, like, I've messed around with so many different versions that I've never actually purchased, but yeah. It's like sneakers,
just
right?
Just like
exactly, a little window shopping. Awesome. Well, there's one other piece of news that I have before we close the show, and it's just a heads up to everybody out there that there's a new September update. You're going to want to check it out on your console. The full story is on Xbox Wire. You can get all the details there. Anything before we wrap? I think that's all that we have. Any other last call games? Go out there and play it.
Early access for Forza Motorsport starts on October 5th. I've been working on for what feels like at least a year now. So I'm excited and proud of the team and ready for everyone to be able to get a chance to play it.
Won't be long now.
Yeah. Indeed.
I'll plug the Sea of Thieves just announced their next update, and as part of it, they're doing the Safer Seas feature, where it's kind of like a tutorial where they remove the PvP, so you can like jump in, you can do quests, and the rewards and things are lessened, and not all of the different paths are available, but it's a really great way to have a private server with your friends and learn the ropes and like kind of figure out how ships work and like get into your routine before you go out into like the big larger world where you might get your butt kicked as soon as you run into another place. So for me, that's going to be a great way to get some of my friends that haven't played into it. So I can be like, oh, you don't have to worry about the PvP. We can just go and sail and do our own thing and have an adventure and take photos and, you know, do all of that without looming threats. So really excited to check that out.
Also, the final tall tale for Monkey Island is
Yes.
Yeah, lots of Sea of Thieves goodness. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you all so much. Thank you, Jeff, Kelly, Martin, for joining me. That's all we've got for you guys today. Tune in next week, probably Thursday. We don't know yet, but we'll let you know soon enough.
Tune in sometime.
Just tune in.
Just tune in. Just constantly be on the listen. And reminder that you can constantly be on the listen on our Xbox YouTube page, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever your viewing preference leads you to. That's all we've got for you this week. Let us know in the comments how we're doing. We're always happy to take feedback, and otherwise we'll see you next week.
Bye everyone.
Bye everyone.